Our study tonight is in actually two chapters, Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 1, going over to chapter 28, verse 17. That's a lot of verses there, 39 verses. I think what I'll do is just teach through the passage rather than reading it first. It's very extensive, but the whole thing is a single literary unit. I couldn't break it up. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13 predicts that in the last days, that's specifically the last days of church history, men would go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Well, that creates a crisis. That's a crisis for the church. In Jeremiah chapter 27, verse 1 to chapter 28, verse 17, the prophet Jeremiah exampled how to respond well to false religious messengers, such as false prophets or false teachers in his era. So we view the passage for our insight and our edification. It's interesting, these Old Testament minor prophets, and of course Jeremiah is not a minor prophet, he's a major prophet, but the prophets, both the major prophets and the minor prophets, the experiences that they had are very, very applicable for our era, because they were living at a time when apostasy was growing by leaps and bounds, much like we are today. And a lot of the circumstances that they faced, we face. Different culture, obviously. But nevertheless, the human heart is the same, no matter what culture you're in, no matter what era you're in. So this really works for us. So responding well to false religious messengers. In Jeremiah chapter 27, verses 1 through 22, the whole chapter, God sent Jeremiah to preach against false prophets on how men were to relate to Babylon's king. At the start of Zedekiah's reign, it's Zedekiah's reign, I know it says Jehoiakim in verse 1, but that's a scribal error. We know that because the rest of the chapter talks not about Jehoiakim, it talks about Zedekiah. So God told Jeremiah to make wooden yokes. These would be model yokes like you would put on around the neck of a cow or an ox or something, but these are smaller yokes that you'd put around a human being. Little wooden yokes. Put one of them on his own neck, and to send the other yokes to each of the ambassadors of foreign nations who had come to Jerusalem to conspire with Judah against Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Now, apparently, these ambassadors were in town. They weren't tipping their hand as to why they were there, but the Lord told Jeremiah why they were there. So Jeremiah comes up to these men, and he puts the yokes on, and he gives the message. And he says, no, don't conspire against Babylon. You need to yield to him, otherwise you're in trouble. And these guys are saying, what? How do you know that? Well, the Lord knows the secrets of everybody. In fact, he knows the secrets of, you know, talking about government officials. We're going to be praying for government officials later on. He knows the secrets of what's going on in the White House, what's going on in the National Security Council, you name it, Congress. He knows it all. And so God told Jeremiah to make wooden yokes, put one of the yokes on his own neck, and to send the other yokes to each of the ambassadors of foreign nations who had come to Jerusalem to conspire with Judah against Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon. Now, Jeremiah's message, along with this object lesson of the yokes, was that Judah's God, the creator of all men and animals, and who thus gave power over men and animals to whomever he willed, was giving all the lands into Nebuchadnezzar's power, that they were supposed to submit to him or suffer destruction. In verses 4 through 8, let me just briefly read that. And command them to say unto their masters, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, thus ye shall say to your masters, this is the ambassadors, I have made the earth, the man, the beast that are upon the ground by my great power and by my outstretched arm, and have given unto whomever it seemed to me, meet unto me. And now I have given all these lands into the hand of Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and the beasts of the field I have given to him also to serve him. And all nations shall serve him, and his son and his son's son, until the very time of his land come. And then many nations and great kings shall serve themselves of him. And it shall come to pass that the nation and kingdom which will not serve the same Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, and that will not put their neck under the yoke of the king of Babylon, that nation will I punish, saith the Lord, with the sword, with famine, and with disease, until I have consumed them by his hand. There's God says, I want all these nations to submit to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Yes, his time is coming. And when it's time for him to come, and his descendants, I'm going to destroy Babylon, and the other nations are going to serve themselves of Babylon. But until then, the other nations are going to have to submit to Babylon. So this idea of trying to conspire against Nebuchadnezzar is a futile effort. Don't do it. Don't try it. Well, Jeremiah warned that these nations were not to hearken to their prophets who lied by claiming that they would not serve the king of Babylon. Rather, they were to submit to Nebuchadnezzar if they wanted to continue to live in peace and prosper. So you had all these prophets, these false prophets, and all these nations who were predicting to the kings and to the ambassadors that, Babylon's going to be destroyed. Well, it's interesting, at this time, Nebuchadnezzar had actually had to put down an insurrection against his reign. So it looked to the other lands that Babylon was weak, so it probably didn't have much of a future. That's why they were daring to rise up against Babylon. But the Lord is sending a message through Jeremiah. No, that's a fake. Don't count on that. Nebuchadnezzar is going to be strong because I'm supporting him, and I'm going to give him the power over all these lands. Well, God's prophet Jeremiah also told the people of Judah that the prophets who had predicted the temple vessels that Nebuchadnezzar had taken to Babylon in 597 BC would be returned in the near future were prophesying a lie. That Nebuchadnezzar would return and take the rest of the treasures of the temple away to Babylon, where they would remain until the time God said that they would be returned. Conquering kings typically took a conquered people's idols as booty, but Israel, of course, had no idol for God. If you went into the holiest of holies, all you had was an Ark of the Covenant, and you had the Spirit of God above that Ark. So you couldn't take an idol. So what they did, Nebuchadnezzar did, he had taken the holy vessels from the temple in Jerusalem. No idol, so they took the vessels. This is why when Belshazzar, the king, had brought out the vessels of the Lord and was filling them with wine and drinking them, and they were honoring their gods, that it was so blasphemous to God, because they hadn't been able to take an idol of God, but they took his vessels. And by filling them with wine and getting drunk from the holy vessels that had been taken out of the temple of God and trying to demean Israel's God before their gods of wine and everything, God took that personally. And that's why you had the handwriting on the wall. See, God was judging because they were rebelling against the Lord. So you want to keep that in mind when you get to the handwriting on the wall. There's a lot of content behind that. Well, false prophet Hananiah then publicly contradicted Jeremiah's message. And I go to chapter 28, verse 1. And it came to pass the same year in the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spoke unto me in the temple of the Lord in the presence of the priests and of all the people. This is a public confrontation. Saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within two full years will I bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from this place and carried them to Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captives of Judah that went into Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Okay, so reacting to Jeremiah's prophecy, Hananiah publicly confronted him in the temple. There Hananiah claimed that Israel's God had said he had broken the yoke of Babylon's king so that within 2 years, not the 70 years that Jeremiah had predicted back in Jeremiah 25:11. All the temple vessels Nebuchadnezzar had taken would be returned along with King Jeconiah and his fellow Hebrew captives. So here's a prophet who is contradicting Jeremiah to his face publicly in front of everybody in the temple. Jeremiah responded with restraint to Hananiah's contradiction of his prophetic ministry. Notice what he did, verses 5 and 6. Then the prophet Jeremiah said unto the prophet Hananiah in the presence of the priests, in the presence of all the people that stood in the temple of the Lord. Even the prophet Jeremiah said, Amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words which thou hast prophesied to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house and all that is carried away to captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear thou the word that I speak unto thy ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me and before you of antiquity prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of calamity and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesies of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord has truly sent him. In other words, Jeremiah responded. He graciously voiced his personal wish that Hananiah's positive-sounding prediction could be fulfilled. But he also warned that godly prophets before him had predicted the same message that he gave, the message that Judah would face Babylonian destruction, and that when the prophecy of either Jeremiah or Hananiah was fulfilled, would the people know for sure who was the true prophet, Jeremiah or Hananiah? It's interesting, Deuteronomy chapter 18, I believe it's verses 22 and 23, God said that you will know the true prophet from the false prophet by whether or not the prophecies come true, which is obviously. And of course, that's going to be in the future. But Jeremiah here, he's not losing his cool. He's not having a hissy fit. He's not blowing up in anger. He's just saying, well, amen. I wish that your prophecy was true, because it would be wonderful to have the captives back and the king back and have the vessels of the Lord back. But unfortunately, the prophets before me, along with me, have prophesied that God's going to destroy this place. So we're going to have to wait and see whether Hananiah's prophecy comes true or the prophecy that I've given and the former prophets before have given is true. Hananiah then did something very offensive. Notice verse 10 and 11. Then Hananiah the prophet took the yoke from off of prophet Jeremiah's neck, and he broke it. And Hananiah spoke in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so will I break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Now Jeremiah had made this yoke and put it on his neck. So for this man forcibly to take this yoke off and then to break it was to contradict and to belittle the message of Jeremiah. This was to belittle a person in public in the Oriental culture is just about as bad as killing them. To us, to be publicly humiliated is not a happy thing, but it's not a disastrous thing. In the Orient, in the Middle East and so forth, it's a disastrous thing. It can actually result in someone wanting to kill another person. So this is very offensive. Hananiah offensively, publicly belittled Jeremiah's message, taking the yoke off of his neck and breaking it while claiming that God would break the yoke of Babylon over all the nations in 2 full years. Keep the number 2 in mind. That's very important. Well, Jeremiah had no more direction from the Lord at the time, so he simply walked away. I love this. It says, and the prophet Jeremiah went his way. There comes a point where you can't argue anymore. Just, you know, the Lord had not given him a message, didn't tell him how to respond to that, so he just walked out of the temple. Okay. Well, God later sent Jeremiah to Hananiah to announce God's punishment upon him for his sinful ministry. Notice verses 12 through 17. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet. After that, Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from off of the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, I have put a yoke of iron upon the neck of all these nations, that they may serve Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And they shall serve him, and I have given him also the beasts of the field as well. Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, hear now, Hananiah, the Lord has not sent you, but you have made this people trust in a lie. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will cast you from off the face of the earth this year. Thou shalt die, because thou hast taught rebellion against the Lord. So Hananiah the prophet died the same year in the 7th month. The Lord sent Jeremiah to Hananiah to tell him that he had broken wooden yokes, but God would make yokes of iron. Hananiah could not break. Babylon would surely conquer the nations. It's interesting. The Lord has a way of doing this. Oh, so you're going to react against my word? Let me make my word a little stronger. So he makes it stronger. He ups the ante. No one pulls the wool over God's eyes. And no one defeats God in an arm wrestling contest. It doesn't work. God is supreme. God also predicted judgment on Ananias for his sinful ministry. And notice there are three sins. God did not send him, as he had claimed. See, he had claimed that the Lord of hosts said this. That's a lie. God had not sent him. He did false authority. Second, he caused the people to believe a lie. And third, he had taught rebellion against the Lord. In rejecting the message of the prophet of the Lord, it was actually a form of rebellion. It's interesting that God told King Saul earlier that rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft. That's what rebellion is in God's eyes. It's just like getting involved in the occult. It's a horrible thing to rebel directly against the Lord. So Hananiah died the same year, just 2 months later. You'll notice in verse 1 of chapter 28, that was the fifth month that Hananiah accosted him. But Hananiah died in verse 17 in the seventh month. This man had predicted that within 2 years, the articles of the temple would come back. So the Lord killed him within 2 months. See, the timing of the Lord here was a critique of his prophecy. Oh, so you think they're going to come back in 2 months? Guess what? You're going to be dead in 2 months. You think they're coming back in 2 years? You're going to be dead in 2 months. This shows the seriousness of one setting himself up as a teacher and teaching that which is not true. It's very serious in the eyes of God, because what it does, it tends to take people and mislead the people of God. God doesn't like that. He had errantly predicted the return of Judah's captives in 2 years, but God slew him in 2 months, fittingly critiquing his false ministry. So, Jeremiah responded to false prophets by, one, teaching the truth aligned with Scripture. That would be the prophets that were before him. Two, by responding to being publicly belittled and contradicted with restraint and saying that time would expose who told the truth. And three, by withdrawing when publicly mistreated and lacking God's further direction. And four, letting God punish the sinner. It's interesting, Jeremiah could have come back with a public belittling of Hananiah, but he didn't do that. He waited until God sent him privately, and he sent him privately to Hananiah. And he didn't belittle him, he just told the truth. He says, you have caused these people to believe a lie, you have rebelled against the Lord and so forth, so the Lord is going to kill you this year. So may we discern the true from false messengers as detailed in Jeremiah 27 and 28, and may the true messengers of God heed Jeremiah's example if they face opposition from false religious messengers. In other words, just stick with the truth, be steady, show restraint, clarify that God is the one who's going to clarify who's right and who's wrong. Recognize that it's God's battle, it's not yours. If you've been called of the Lord to teach or to minister in some way and someone contradicts you directly, contradicts and tries to belittle your authority and so forth, remember, what they're doing is actually attacking God, because God's the one who sent you, if the Lord sent you. And if that's the situation, let the Lord handle it. If you get involved in it, then you can hurt yourself. But if you back off, let the Lord handle it, he will. Because he wants to protect his interests. And what we need to do is to make sure that our interests are lost within the interests of the Lord. So I love what Jeremiah did here. He was gracious. He was composed. He was restrained. He trusted the Lord. And he let God handle it. And God did. So that's the way we need to handle that type of a situation.